folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. We have one in our series of shows, Mike, about development in the Verde Valley, whether we should build this road or that road, whether this subdivision should come in or that one, or whether we should hold the line or what the water situation is. And this is one I think we've done about five shows. Today we're talking about the Verde Connect, or as these gentlemen will call it, the Verde Disconnect.
That's right. That's right. It's you know, and a Democratic Perspective here, when it comes to these kinds of shows, and certainly I have taken strong positions.
Oh, really?
Klaus, good morning. On political things, but when it comes to this whole development thing and some of these things, I'm more of a listener to a degree. Now, I have to admit, we'll talk about this as the show. I don't want to dominate here yet because I'm the co-host and I have the microphone.
Right. We're co-hosts, but Klaus really kind of produced this show, and we're glad he came back from the North Country. And I don't see any icicles hanging from him or anything, but I think Montana is still pretty cool.
It's pretty chilly.
So who are these guys, Klaus, and what is the argument about Verde Connect and Verde Disconnect?
Well, they're going to tell us what the argument is, but the two representatives we have here, Todd Scantlebury and Zach Wolf, who are representing Verde Disconnect, and they're going to explain to us why there should be a disconnect rather than a connect, right? So go ahead, guys, and just give us some background, please.
Well, that is correct. And first of all, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen, for having us on this morning. And the idea with the idea behind the Verde Disconnect is really it's a representative of the disconnect between the residents of Yavapai County and the disconnect between them and our supervisors that are, we do not feel are listening to us on the problems that we're dealing with and what we need in infrastructure and roads. And
well, tell us what the project is. What is it that we're talking about?
Howdy, this is Todd Scantlebury, and again, thanks for having us both here.
You bet.
So the history on Verde Connect, this project, is about a little over 20 years ago, transportation groups, this is not citizenry, so this isn't public information, came up with this idea. Not a bad idea in thought, which is extending Beaverhead Flat Road down the Chalk Hills all the way across the Verde River and connecting to Highway 260. That connection basically in the middle between Cottonwood and Camp Verde. So that was the idea, and it took place in transportation sessions. The only problem was that none of the citizenry knew about this until about 17 months ago. So a little over a year and a half ago, we started to hear about this in public meeting and set up Verde Disconnect to fight it.
Well, you know, and I've been here, and I'm going to say this at the top, too, so that we can frame this discussion clearly. I've been here 50 years. We've been looking for safety, if nothing else, another way over the Verde River. Whenever I remember when the Bridgeport Bridge was out for a while, they needed some repair, that the entrance into Cottonwood from Sedona.
And I've been hearing about it, Mike, since I've been here in 2003, on and off, that they wanted to have a connector road. I've heard a lot of different places they want to put the road.
So some guy in government finally gets some dough, gets enough money to do this. It was always about money. And then so this does smack a little bit of NIMBY, you know, not in my backyard here. You know, the right that way. So the needs and desires, I want to go with desires here, of a few people that don't want to live near a highway are going to deny the rest of us the safety of having our emergency vehicles have another access over the river. But other than that, just go ahead, Todd. Tell us.
All right. I love that.
We're going to be very fair, Todd.
Okay. No, that's fair.
First, we're going to denounce you, and then we're going to ask you.
Right.
Welcome.
I'm used to being denounced. That's not a problem.
There you go.
So NIMBY is probably in many ways an accurate term, right? So none of us want to see more roads, more traffic, more development where we live. That's natural.
Okay.
If you move here to retire and you've put all your savings into a property, if you run a farm like Zach does with Plowing Ahead Ranch, or you run the Verde Valley CSA like we started here on Middle Verde and supply local produce to the whole area, you love the farm, you love the place, and you don't want to see it change. That's natural. We all feel that way. Mm. But let's go back to the finance part first and what this means. The way the county went at this, some bright person in the county decided, let's get a grant. The grant's called a build grant, and it totals $25 million, and it's for rural development. The way they got it was they claimed that the underprivileged, quote-unquote, citizens of Middle Verde and the Yavapai Apache Nation needed this connection.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we are only, by the way, about 180, 200 homes down there in Middle Verde. Since then, we decided to get together and decide how the people actually felt about it. We have over 500 petitions signed opposing this project, and the Yavapai Apache Nation wrote a letter to the county saying, you know what, don't touch our land, you cannot use our land, do not try to connect that way. So we have two groups that are supposed beneficiaries of this that aren't really into it. After that, the town took a look at it, and since Middle Verde is a character area and it's designated rural agricultural, a buffer to the Verde River, a supplier of local produce, beef, grass-fed beef and whatnot to the Verde Valley, they said, we don't want this either. Our town council voted unanimously to oppose the connection. We then went to Beaver Creek. The Beaver Creek Community Association talked to them about it. They stand to benefit from this because it is a road, as you said, that would take them places. They voted unanimously to oppose it. And we went to Jerome, and Jerome did the same. Now, why? Why did all these people say we don't want this connection? The town of Camp Verde said it because of what I said earlier. They don't want to have a group come in and change this rural area, which acts as a buffer to the environment of the river. And other communities who are feeling the pressure of this development supported us because they want to see agriculture. They want to see what that area is preserved.
Now, wait a minute. So let's talk about that area. I'm sorry. When it comes to Middle Verde, it's like disappears in most people's minds. So are we talking about Horseshoe Bend and Dickinson Circle and you know, La Fonda, all that area? And there's a lot of houses down by the river down there. And so that's as far as residents we're talking about there. But and you're telling me about agricultural areas on which side of the river or both sides of the river?
The agricultural areas of Middle Verde would be the east side of the river, and Middle Verde has always been just a dead-end road. And when you look back to the development of the settlers of the Verde Valley in the 1860s, we started out with three major developments here. We had the Lower Verde, the Middle Verde, and the Upper Verde. Now, the Upper Verde became Cottonwood, the Lower Verde became Camp Verde, and the Middle Verde has remained the Middle Verde. It's an isolated area out there, but it's an area that the community really pulls together. We're 7 minutes from the nearest gas station. I'm almost 20 minutes to the grocery store. There's a lot of agriculture in that area because of it, that we're really self-sustaining. And that projects out into the rest of the Verde Valley as well, that, you know, we're major producers, gardens, cattle operations, all kinds of different growing out there. And it's because of that isolation. And it's a lifestyle that we really enjoy. Yes, this absolutely comes across as a NIMBY project, but it's much greater than that. The original, to kind of touch back on what we were talking about a minute ago, the original idea and the reasoning for getting the grant was actually solid, in my opinion. The original plan was apply for a $25 million grant to improve 2 miles of existing road, which just happened to be on the Yavapai Apache Nation, and to bridge over an existing low water crossing that is having a negative impact on the Verde River. in theory, that all sounds well and good. What's happened is that the county did not do the proper outreach to discuss with the Yavapai Apache Nation, is this something that you feel like you're going to benefit from, and applied for the grant without having that answer. Now, with the Yavapai Apache Nation saying, well, you know, no, we do not prefer this on our land. We'd rather not have a road here. Thanks for asking. It's become, well, now we have $25 million of free money, which, of course, there's no such thing as free money, and we don't want to lose this. So what was originally going to be approximately a $29 million road funded by $25 million worth of grant money has become a nine-mile road, roughly, just to connect Beaverhead Flat to Highway 260 at Corey Drive, and doesn't even take into account the tag-on road that they want to do on the Middle Verde.
So let me say, so you got a county with a sizable grant that sees that they're satisfying a long-term need, and you're saying they forgot to ask the people involved, you know, in the communities that you just mentioned, which is quite about, I don't want to say all of them, but it's them and more. I don't know why Jerome would weigh in on this, but they find that they did. So the government didn't ask the people involved whether they wanted this or not, I guess.
I guess that folks understand that if you're on 260, you have to go all the way to Cottonwood before you can turn towards Sedona or a village of Oak Creek, so forth and so on. This is an idea to connect things so that you don't have to go the whole thing. So basically 260 89A is kind of a dog leg. You have to go way deep into the valley and then before you can turn north. This would make a connection earlier. I'm not sure who would benefit from it exactly, except maybe folks in VOC, because I don't see that it would help most folks in Sedona.
The benefit's huge. The intersections at the Y, the intersections at 260 and 89, the intersection, if you've ever spent some time on 179, if you're coming from I-17, you're part of the caravan to Sedona down 179, that beautiful little two-lane highway that gets to that bottleneck at there at the Y where 179 meets 89A. It's one of the most famous intersections in Arizona.
So how would this help, Mike? That's what I don't understand. I understand the problem.
Because now you have people going through the Y trying to get to the village. From my house or from lots of places in Cottonwood, you have to go. If I want to go to the village, many times I end up going that way. You'll have people whose destination is the village that don't have to go through the 89A 260 intersection. You'll have people going to Sedona, various points, Chapel of the Holy Cross, that who won't have to go through 179 and 89A.
Sedona is building a slip lane at what we call the Y. It's now a traffic circle. They're
building figure eight or whatever we're calling it.
So you'll be able to go off from 179 over to 89A in West Sedona, or vice versa. So they're. I don't quite understand how this. Who would the road help and who would it hurt exactly?
Well, my question here, and for Mike, what you're describing, are you suggesting that people are going to drive out of direction from West Sedona to Cottonwood through 89A to take Verde Connect to come back to the 179? Because what I see is that we're going to spend well over $100 million, not including the grant, to basically get people to the same traffic jam at 179 7 minutes faster.
and Zach is pointing out that the bottleneck is the bottleneck, Mike, no matter how fast you get there. I believe what the road people would say, well, we're taking this one step at a time. We have this 5.5 million people in Maricopa County. It seems like every one of them want to be in Sedona on every weekend, so we're gonna help them get there. Not being able to predict where they might go, whether it's the chapel, whether it's somewhere short of the bottleneck or even Tlaquepaque. But yeah, until they, you're right, they're helping them get to the bottleneck a little faster, and it does, at least to some of us, we're happy that there's another way over the river. We're happy that an emergency vehicle
would it help folks in Cornwall
doesn't have to go out to I-17. We're happy that if there's an accident, if there's anything blocking either of the major, the only two ways to get there, then we have another alternative.
Arizona policy on the highways is if there's a fatality in a crash, is they shut down the whole highway.
That's
and we've
it.
Had we've had a highway shut down between Sedona and Cottonwood for almost a whole day.
So if I could, I want to drop back to two things you all have mentioned, finance and the how much this connect could or couldn't help.
Yeah.
So on this, because I know it's hard if you're not looking at a map, I urge everybody who's listening to this show, get out a map. Look at where Beaverhead Flat is. Think about how it dumps out in the middle of 260. And ask yourself, if you're coming from VOC, if you're coming from Cornville, if you're coming from Sedona, and you get to Beaverhead Flat, where you would go to get to the interstate, to get to Cornville, to get to Cottonwood. When you look at the map and you see what happens at Cornville Road, you'll see that what you're going to do is do the same route you've been doing on Cornville Road. This road has been called a road to nowhere, to the middle of 260. One other point, the finance. So Zach brought this up. $25 million, that's burning a hole in the county's pocket, even though they forgot to check with the towns and the neighborhoods and the surrounding area to see whether they want it. They still have this $25 million they would like to get their hands on. It's not in their pocket yet because they have to go through a NEPA process to get it this spring,
what
probably
kind of
coming
process?
Up in May. It's called NEPA, so it's in the Environmental Protection Agency. They have to look at all consequences, including human consequences, river consequences, birds, animals, flora, before they build a road like this right near the joining of Oak Creek and Verde River. Money. And let me just finish this statement. $25 million they could get if they survive this process. Still, $50 to $100 million to be spent to build the rest of the road. The county's now in debt for over $50 million. That's why we just got a tax increase, folks. Our property values tax increase just went up to try to start hitting at this deficit that we have in the county. How do they pay for a road like this? It's more taxes. It's gasoline, sales, road taxes to get it done. If they do this project, and the county is focusing on it like it's the most important road project in the entire county, let's talk about what isn't going to happen. 179 and its junction with 89A. What are we going to do there? How are we going to clear up traffic in Sedona? What kind of bypasses and improvements are we going to make? How are we going to help Cornville Road? Three major accidents this last month. One little six-year-old girl killed. Cornville Road is getting crazy, and so is poor Cornville, who's getting swamped with traffic. This project is only going to dump more traffic into Cornville coming from Camp Verde. These other projects that need help, these towns, these roads that need help, there will be no financing for the foreseeable future if this project goes through. Sounds like a great idea. County's had it on the books for 20 years. But when you look at it, if we do this, nothing else is going to happen.
Well, I agree with you that it seems to be an error on the county's side not to have brought in communities sooner. I don't have an explanation for that. And I'm not in government, but the idea there does seem to be the attitude that any road will do. You know, we got some money. This is the place it's going to go. You already got Beaverhead Flat Road. It joins up there at Jones Ford, which is really kind of on the Cottonwood side. It's kind of far away from the Camp Verde side, but it's still a route across the river. It's still a third option other than 89A and I-17. And, you know, people like me kind of give a shrug and say, well, it's maybe it's not ideal, but it's certainly a third option that will get us across the river, that will get us between those two major highways. Now, the Cornville Road, the McGuireville Road, whatever we want to call it, is another wrinkle in all of this. It's going to put more traffic on there. Certainly, it's a road many of us take. I used to take it because there was no traffic on there.
Beaverhead Flats is the road that we take when we're in the village. We want to go to Cottonwood.
When it was dirt,
that's how we get over there.
I used to drive it when it was dirt. But so the idea is so the impact on. But I want to talk about the impact on Cornville. This is another community that seems to resist change of any kind, especially if it's going to be more people. That's a whole nother, I'd like to see some facts and figures on Cornville Road, on McGuireville Road.
And they're there. And if you look at the ADOT's 2016 traffic study, they discussed that. And now Cornville, and I feel strongly about Cornville as well, it's another agricultural area. And when you're looking at Cornville proper, you know, Verde Santa Fe is not Cornville. Verde Santa Fe is
a Cornville
Cottonwood
address, but it's not.
It's a Cottonwood neighborhood with a Cornville zip code.
There you go.
So, ADOT's 2016 General Transportation Plan said that if you widened Cornville Road, that you would not have to do any of these other projects, including Verde Connect. Now, I am not advocating for a four-lane road to go through Cornville, but I would absolutely advocate for passing lanes out in the areas away from the residential, traffic calming measures.
Yeah.
We don't have traffic problems in the Verde Valley. We have driver problems. We have idiot drivers that are self-entitled and are putting us all at risk. And there are things, much more cost-effective things, that could be done to correct these issues. And when you go back to looking at this $25 million grant and what roads cost these days, so a great example of this right now is a cooperative project going between the city of Cottonwood and Yavapai County to pave Ogden Ranch Road. I believe that's about approximately a mile, maybe a mile and a half of fairly maintained dirt road. I mean, it's certainly very drivable.
It's great dirt. It's a great dirt road.
It's a great dirt road. 125 or 1.25 million is the estimate to pave that road, the existing road. What's it going to cost us to build a major bridge and an additional 9 miles of road just for the Beaverhead Flat to Corey Road intersection, and plus the tag on to Middle Verde? The $25 million grant is nothing more than a coupon, say 15% off your next unneeded road project, to encourage you to spend money you do not have. And Yavapai County does not have the money. We cannot continue to bond things. Tom Thurman addressed the Camp Verde City Council in July of 2019 and told us that Yavapai County is right now between $52 and $55 million in debt, and that was before the increased property tax.
Did Thurman vote for this?
Thurman was on board with this project.
Okay,
and
just checking.
And at the same time, when we addressed this with him, and, you know,
Zach, are all the supervisors, current supervisors, on board with this thing? They all support it.
No, the current supervisors, the ones for District 2, which is currently Tom Thurman, and District 3, which is currently Randy Garrison, are on board with it. Thurman admitted to us, we're talking to him, that yes, they should have taken their time and reached out more. He asked that they wait until the next grant cycle and do their homework before they applied for this grant. But they got excited. They pushed it through. They didn't do their homework. That is a major failure on the part of our representatives.
So they talked somebody on the other side of the mountain to be in the third vote.
The other side of the mountain, the way I understand it, is not even really discussing this right now and is very unaware of what's going on.
I'm sorry, Todd. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Todd, would you had something, Todd? You need a microphone, yeah.
We got plenty of microphones, thank you. And I want to thank you again for not having over 50 people
in
this
room. We
don't
charge for microphones either.
Yeah, we hold our breath in between the... No, go ahead.
So you're right. Randy Garrison is seen as the champion of this project, and he has been for quite a while. If you talk to somebody with a little more history and a little more knowledge and somebody who's looked at transportation more thoroughly, like Chip Davis, now our treasurer and getting back into our local politics, his point is Zach's point exactly. He's still in favor of this road and the connection, the favor of the road and connection down to 260. But when it comes to connecting to Middle Verde, which has always been a dead-end road, and changing the character of that neighborhood. Remember, y'all, we got over 600 irrigated acres there. We all know what happens when you put a major highway through that kind of thing. We just go to Scottsdale, anywhere else, and we can see what happens. He says, Chip, that he would have taken his time, just as Tom Thurman wished they had, and found out whether the town and Middle Verde wanted to have this connection. Since we don't, the question is, why force it down those communities' throats? This is bad governance. This is not good management.
If you want to build the road, they didn't do outreach with the NIMBYs.
If you want to do a road, then it should be paid for, sure. But you don't use a neighborhood and ruin it to get your dollars to make that happen.
We're listening to Todd. We're listening to Zach, representatives of the Verde Disconnect.
You guys have a website?
What's the name of your organization?
We sure do. So thank you for asking. It is verdedisconnect.com, all one word. And you can find out our platform. You can see our grant challenge, why we think this grant has not been done in an honest way. And you can see our issues with this road. Also, March 28th, so that's just a couple Saturdays away, we will have a road block party, pun intended, and y'all are invited. There's coffee, cookies, donuts, and there's a road cleanup. Come down and learn what's happening and why this beautiful rural area, one of our last stretches of agricultural land in the Verde Valley, wants to stop this.
Where's it going to be, Todd?
So that's on Middle Verde Road. If you drive down, you don't have to go more than a mile in on Middle Verde Road. You'll see our big stand and the folks in the orange vests with the yellow Verde Disconnect buttons on.
We're here on Democratic Perspective. We're still a political show, even though we do these kind of community service things. So tell us, is Chip Davis going to run for District 2? You guys chat all the time.
You know, we have six candidates running for District 2.
Holy crapola.
And it can just, and it, oh, good, we can swear. It tells you what kind of a attention we have. I think Zach can speak to this better than I can, but bottom line, the residents in District 2 do not feel they've been listened to. Tom Thurman's a nice man. He's retiring. I'm afraid he kind of lost the helm here in the last few years, and we are really looking for somebody that wants to work with local communities to create a plan that the entire county can work through.
Talk about now, these is all about in the Republican primary, right, all these candidates. Are there ones that you guys support? Go ahead, Zach.
Absolutely. I think we have two very strong candidates, one for District 2 and one for District 3 in Mr. Wiley Klein for District 2 Supervisor.
Say it slower, please. What's his name?
Wiley Klein. And you can look up his information at WileyKlein.com. And District 3, we have a great candidate in Donna Michaels, who is running as a Democrat. And from the other people I've talked to within this, they all feel that, as I do, that county supervisor should not be a bipartisan type of election. We just need...
Should not
people
be partisan.
Should not be partisan, correct. Thank you.
You bet.
Should not be partisan. And these are two candidates that I feel strongly are going to be able to work very well together and will be able to work well with the other candidates in the other three districts. We really need good, strong leadership again, and that's something that we have been lacking for quite some time, in my opinion.
To mention that, we did have that discussion. Steve brought that up. Co-host Steve Williamson brought it up last week when we had the county supervisor on. Why is it a partisan election? School boards, the other offices, school board, municipal offices are all nonpartisan. And his answer was that because of state government and because of federal, because the county is that entity that is this sort of conduit between those, that right now the Republicans are in power. So the county government representative being of the same party as the party in power opens doors for them, which is true. With that particular party, that's the first question they've asked every school superintendent, every county superintendent, you know, first of all, are you a registered Republican? And then they, which is like absurd, which is not representation, which is not, which is partisan, hyper partisanship, not just partisanship. It's one thing to be a member of a party and run for a county office. It's another thing to make it a litmus test in order to get services. That's, if I was able to swear, that would be, this would be the time I would swear. That's not right. So Randy's reason for the county being a partisan race, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't hold water or is a bridge to nowhere.
That was his argument, and Randy also said that his district is divided about 50-50 between Democrats and Republican. The other district is almost entirely Republican district, and so all the action is in the Republican. Primary. We talked about inviting some of those people to come on here, and I thought, guys, this is, in the end, we're kind of a Democratic show. We do a lot of nonpartisan stuff, yeah. But getting involved in the Republican primary is like, I think that's a little bit a bridge too far for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people look to programs like yours to get their information. You know, the statewide news isn't talking about what's going on in the Green Valley. We get it from the newspapers. We get it from shows like yours. This is where we get our information. I absolutely encourage you to bring these people on, get a different perspective of it. And for everyone listening to us today, don't just take our word for it. Do your own research. The information is out there. Verde Disconnect, our group, we have a website. Todd mentioned that. VerdeConnect.com is a great one to look at. This is the county's website. This has the information out there. You're going to have to dig a little bit to find the data. But I'd highly encourage you to look at the public comment section of that, as well as the traffic study section of that. Verde Connect's very own traffic studies with ADOT, with Jacobs Engineering, prove this road fails before it is even built. Why are we putting all our eggs in this basket when there are so many other things we could focus on and actually improve traffic right now?
Let me ask Mike, who I know has a stronger opinion on this than I do, because I don't really have an opinion. I don't feel I have enough information yet. I'm getting more and more information. You always supported a connecting road,
right?
Not this particular route,
right?
But you've always supported it. What did you think it would do? How would it benefit people in the Verde Valley?
Well, I think I already said it, that when it came to emergency, when it came to whenever there was an accident on I-17, or for whatever reason, for a time they needed to do some work on the Bridgeport Bridge, it was shut down. So the access to Sedona, the access to Cottonwood was shut down for a while. One of the two ways, and this is when Beaverhead Flat was a nasty dirt road. A lot of people didn't know about it, and it still didn't take you. It only took you to outside the village when your goal was West Sedona or points beyond. Point is, we always wanted a second way over the river, a third way over the river. I-17, 89A, give us something else. Give us another alternative over the river. So now, although I have to admit, I'm listening to these folks and listening to the... So I have some questions. If supervisors were here, I would, my support for the project was, it's just like the 2020 election. Any Democrat will do, thank you, compared to the lying maniac in the White House. So, but in this particular case, so for a while, the comparison I'm making,
well, I think we should
any
have
road
both,
over the
both candidates for supervisor back on. We have Donna Michaels and Randy Garrison, have them both back on, talk more about this issue, because I don't think Donna talked about it, but Randy did.
And if they'll come on together,
her position on
if they'll come on together, a lot of times when we've seen this before, when it comes this close to the wire,
it would be a discussion, nasty debate.
Let's have Chip on. Chip Davis is. Let's have
Chip. Chip's a great one.
Let's have Chip Davis on. That's if you want to talk, because we got somebody who, well, I was going to say he doesn't have a dog in the fight, but if he ends up being a candidate for District 2, is he taking papers? Do you know?
Chip is now the treasurer for Yavapai.
I think he's going to run for treasurer, Mike. I think that's my impression.
As long as he is in a position in the county, I'm very comfortable with whatever he wants to do.
So we like Chip because we like any kind of sane Republicans. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, sane, normal, old-fashioned Republicans. We like them. I'd like them to run for office.
Well, all of this. We're on a show called Democratic Perspective. We have two wonderful community-minded guys here this morning, Zach and Todd, whose last names I'm not going to screw up for them. When it comes to the county level, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, again, the name of Todd Scantlebury and Zach Wolf.
Okay, so when it comes to partisanship, that one of the reasons Chip stayed in office in District 3 so long, I think, was because he, regardless of his registration, he felt about the land, he felt about the river,
absolutely,
he felt about Cornville, he felt about the village of Oak Creek the way a resident would. At least he was he managed
Red Rock Crossing.
In his political life, he managed to make people feel either he's a very good politician or he was just honest. We can't tell. I can't tell anymore. And Garrison, we're talking about fifth generation Verde Valley, knows everyone's done everything. So I find it, although on this particular project, I'm listening to you guys, they maybe didn't do their homework. That they too, like me, who's lived here a long time, they said, I want a road. Somebody's going to give me some money to put a road over the river. I'm going to take it.
I don't think they knew originally where the road was going to go. When I first heard about it, the road was much further over.
There was five alternatives at the time.
Yeah. And so I don't think they knew who to talk to. I agree with you. The outreach sucks. It's really bad.
Well,
they should have discussed it with all the
people. If Randy were here, he'd say, by voting not to participate, then you gave up your chance to be a voice in the choice.
Where exactly is the road supposed to be now?
Their final plan that they've come up with for what they're referring to as the Verde Connect is the Quarry Road roundabout on Highway 260 to junction with Cornville Road at the Beaverhead Flat intersection. The Middle Verde Connect, which the entire grant hinges on, we don't know where that's going to go yet. The county doesn't know, and the town is passed a resolution that they're not supporting it. So Middle Verde Road, if you've ever driven on it, and most of you haven't, because there's not a whole lot down there unless you're coming because you're dealing with the folks down there or something.
Bunch of damn houses.
A very few damn houses and a bunch of just beautiful irrigated land and riparian area of the Verde River in the Verde Valley that has not been obstructed by traffic, that is virtually inaccessible, lies right under this proposed bridge.
And I am a rancher.
I own Plowing Head Ranch in Camverde.
And you think the road would negatively impact your ranch personally?
Well, if you look at the original five routes, C3 would have impacted my ranch by bulldozing my house, my garage, and my barn to build it. Yes, that would definitely negatively impact my ranch. But when we look at the Verde Valley, and what it is that we love about this place. This is a gem in the middle of an arid desert, and it deserves our protection.
What's the name of your ranch?
Plowing Ahead.
You guys sell any beef?
Yes, we do.
Got a card?
I will get you a card. We're not here to talk about being advertised.
How about Todd?
It is important to understand.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Let's ask Todd. Does it affect you personally?
So
and we'll ask Klaus, maybe the same thing.
So you've got a number of farms back there. We have, again, the folks who started the Verde Valley CSA live there.
What's the CSA?
That's a community-supported agriculture. Okay. They deliver every Wednesday to Cornville in the park there, and it's a pickup thing where, you've got berries, fruits, vegetables, everything that's coming
up for it, and it's weekly or monthly?
Right. That's a weekly effort. And same with the farmer's market, and these folks, of course, are supporting
This is Manzanita Outreach. At least that's one of the organizations. If you need some food,
Right. And there's some food that goes to food bank. You're exactly right. So we find this all very important. We think we need affordable housing. We think we need dense housing. We think we need large properties with nice homes on it. But we also think we need agriculture and farm. That's a balanced county. You have to choose where those things are. Now, let's talk real quickly about the fights, the firefights that are happening around. We have we all know about Spring Creek. We all know about El Rojo Grande. Maybe people don't know about Primrose Peaks, another development.
Where? All,
this is in – that's
okay. Thanks. That's right. Okay.
So each time the communities have had to rally, support, sometimes get legal help, and why? Because in light of no county plan, we respond to developers. We don't respond to neighborhoods and their plans. We respond to developers. That's the wrong way to look at a future for a place that's one of the fastest growing rural counties in the United States. We need a plan. We need county supervisors who recognize what areas should be what. They need to honor local communities and towns and their plans and put together a plan so that we're not constantly having to fight these fires, but rather working as a group, as a county, to plan for our future. That's the kind of supervisors we want to put in. That's not the kind of supervisors we've had in District 2. And
Randy, do you think this is a case of government, in this case, you have a Pike County government, jumping or following the money a little too closely, or jumping for the money, and we're not a wealthy county. This isn't Westchester, so they had some money for a needed project, at least project they thought, and they went for the money before they did their homework. Randy Garrison is a neighbor. I've known him. I've known his dad for a long, long time. I don't believe that in his heart that he would do anything to hurt the Yavapai County. Chip Davis, Tom Thurman, all in politics for the right reason. Donna Michaels, bless her heart, in politics for the right reason. Not for, and by the right reason, I mean not for self-gain. To serve. So I believe this is just what it, I think we kind of characterize it. It's almost like a family fight in that we have a difference here of approach. If anybody's been in a family, it's not often what you say, it's the way you say it that gets you in trouble.
Let me tell you, I think Todd had a good point that we need an overall approach to the Verde Valley. What is the Verde Valley? How do we balance all the different parts of the Verde Valley? Yeah. We're living next to the fastest growing metropolitan area in the United States. And it impacts Sedona one way and it impacts other places other ways. Thanks for being with me, Mike. We have some announcements. Door and
yes, we want to. Thanks, Bertie Disconnect. It was I was loaded for bear. I was going to attack
you. You were going to shoot him between the eyes.
I said this is, but there was it turned out to be. All right, we would want to talk. We want to thank our friends at Democrats of the Red Rock. This is why we can smooth. The voice just smooth. Thank our friends at Democrats of Red Rocks for helping Democratic Perspective. And we want to say their meeting on the 19th has been canceled. We want to thank our friends at Yavapai Democrats Cottonwood. Their meeting has also been canceled on the 17th. Doors meeting canceled on the 19th. The Cottonwood's meeting canceled on March 17th. There is, we have.
They want you to remind you that you can vote or go ahead on.
Go ahead, Close Off.
Yeah, they want to remind everybody that you can sign the 3 petition, invest in education, save our schools, and outlaw dirty money initiative petitions at any polling place in Sedona and the Verde Valley on Tuesday from 8 to 6. So with so many public events being canceled, this is a wonderful chance to
sign. Please go sign the petitions. I have petitions in my car. The Save Our Schools petition is important. The outlaw dirty money may be the most important petition you'll ever sign. How to get money from out of Arizona or big money in Arizona out of politics. It goes to the heart of everything we talk about on Democratic Perspective. Please, please, please find out where you can sign these petitions. Democrats at Red Rocks has a website. Verde Disconnect has a website. Democratic Perspective has a website, vvid.org. This show and all our shows can be found at verdevalleyindependentdemocrats.org. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.